We're turning in the scriptures to the Gospel of Mark in the chapter 4. The Gospel of Mark in the chapter 4. And we're going to read the Word of God together as we read from verse 35. The same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? May the Lord take of his word and make it a blessing. Use it for his glory. Let's just seek him in prayer as we come to think of the message today. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou art a sovereign God, and thou dost work according to the counsel of thy will. Thou hast brought us to this meeting today in thy purposes, and we pray that thou wilt settle our minds and our hearts down before thy holy word. We thank thee for all that has gone before, the opportunity to sing praise unto thy name, and Lord, even to be challenged with the words and song. But Lord, paramount to this meeting is thy word, and it ought to be our chief desire when we come to a meeting like this to know what God has to say to us from his word. For thy word is truth, thy word is forever settled in heaven. Thy word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, we just leave our lives before thee. We bring our hearts before thy presence. We pray that thou will prepare us for the preaching of the word. And Lord, may we leave this house different. Oh God, may we leave knowing that we've met with the Lord in a very powerful way, and that he has spoken to our hearts. Hear and answer our cry in Jesus' name. Amen. I want very simply to take up the question of our text, which is verse 40 or 38, and the question that is asked here by the disciples to the Lord Jesus. Carest thou not that we perish? Carest thou not that we perish? The narrative before us is one of the most instructive and challenging passages of Scripture that we have in the Gospels, with many different applications. The scene is filled with turmoil and trouble, panic and confusion, doubt and fear. The disciples, some of them hardy fishermen and used to the wild seas, thought that they were going to die. They were going to perish in the chilly waters of the sea. Jesus and his disciples have embarked on a little sea journey after a day's ministry. Our Savior knew what it was to suffer, to feel pain, to be hungry, to be thirsty. Because he was not only truly God, he was truly man. He was the God-man when he was here upon the earth. And so he knew our experiences. And here, it would seem, he knew what it was to be weary and to be tired. We find him in the hinder part of the ship, sleeping. There was nothing wrong with that. The Lord had been busy that day in the preaching of the word, in the ministry of God's truths. And in his humanity, he found himself weak and tired and in need of sleep. And there he is in the back part of the ship, and he's sleeping. However, in the course of their journey, an unexpected storm crossed their path. We read it there in verse 37. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. This was really a dreadful time. I don't think that we can fully appreciate or understand what these disciples must have been passing through. We can hardly imagine their experience. The fear that gripped their hearts, the panic that they were in, the consternation that they faced. And while all this rage and fury and storm of the sea was going on, Jesus was sleeping. Did he not know that there was a storm? Did he not know what was happening there on the deck of the ship? Did he not know the dread and the terror that was felt by his dear disciples? Yes, of course he knew. But this was a testing time. It was a test of their faith. And by the way, they failed. Sometimes we fail in our faith. And these disciples did in verse 40, when the storm has been taken away and there's a great calm, Jesus says to his disciples, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" In their utter confusion and fear, the only thing the disciples were confident about was death. They thought they were going to die. They thought that nothing was more certain. And they ran to Jesus. And they woke him out of his sleep, and they posed this very faithless, and I would say careless and thoughtless question, "Carest thou not that we perish?" I don't know what storm may be raging in your life today as you gather in this meeting. I do not know what trouble has overtaken you in your journey, what winds and waves are blowing and beating into your vessel, threatening to crush you and take you down. I don't know what anxieties overwhelm your heart and maybe even tempt you to ask the Lord the question, "Carest thou not? Do you not care about my circumstances? Do you not care what I'm passing through?" I don't know these things. But my friends, I do know that Jesus loves you. If you're his child today, he is concerned for you. There may be a testing time, there may be a storm sent to try your faith, but through it all, never lose sight of this truth. Jesus knows, Jesus cares, Jesus understands exactly what you're passing through, and he can come in the midst of the raging storm and he can still say, "Peace be still." He can bring a great calm in the midst of it all. Now the question that is asked by the disciples to Jesus Christ, "Carest thou not that we perish?" might well be a question asked in this 21st century by those who are dying in their sins without hope, by those who are lost and perishing in the seas of sin and the world, by those whose case is helpless and hopeless. Because spiritually speaking, men around us are drowning in their sin. They're going down, not merely into the waters of death, but into eternity itself, and a lost eternity for that matter. They are in grave and immediate danger, if they could only perceive it. Oh, that God would bring us to see the appalling plight of those who are lost in sin. Lost without Christ, without hope, without salvation, without a Savior, without an eternal refuge. And oh, that we would realize that the Lord can bring peace to their sinful and their troubled souls, for he's the Prince of Peace. He gives peace through the blood of his cross. Sinners can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the desire that we have in our hearts for this mission. In the midst of this raging world, with men going down into a lost eternity, that as they come and they listen to the word of God preached in this house over the duration of the mission, over the next 2 weeks, that they might come to know the peace that's only found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. I want you to think about this question. I believe it is very challenging for us in the light of the mission, in the light of the Christian life. Carest thou not that we perish? I want to, first of all, ask the question, by whom is the question asked? By whom is the question asked? Well, I believe in a broader sense we can say, first of all, it is asked by the teeming millions of this world's population, especially those who have never heard the gospel message. And my friends, throughout this earth, in so many countries, there are still millions upon millions of people who have never ever heard the name of Jesus Christ, let alone what He came to do upon the cross of Calvary. This might well be a question, therefore, that is pushed out from the depths of their souls to the Christian church today. We have light. We have truth. We have understanding. We have knowledge. We have, my friends, the Bible, the Word of God, the message of the Gospel. What are we doing to reach the millions of souls who do not enjoy the privileges that we have? Are we sending out the Word of God? Are we sending out Bibles? Are we sending out missionaries? Are we sending out our finances so that missionary work can be sustained? Are we sending ourselves? Have we ever thought perhaps I could be the one that should go and be a missionary of the cross and tell the millions who have never heard about Jesus, the mighty to save? I believe here's a question, and it is asked by the teeming millions of the world's population. Carest thou not that we perish? You have the light. You have the way. You have the truth. You have the understanding. Do you not care that we're still in our sin? I believe also it's a question asked by the stranger down the street. Carest thou not that we perish? There is a man on your road, and he's out of Christ without a Savior, with no hope nor refuge nigh. He has a wife and he has a family. They're off the world. They know not the way of salvation. They are wallowing in sin and they are perishing without hope, and they're going down, down, down to the sides of the pit in everlasting doom. And I think I hear a cry of despair echoing up the road. Carest thou not that we perish? It's also a question that might well be asked by the neighbor next door. Sometimes at our missionary meetings and conventions, we sing that missionary hymn, far, far away in heathen darkness dwelling. And that's true. We've touched on that already. Millions of souls may forever may be lost. Who will go? And there's a great challenge to go to the mission field. But sometimes at these conventions, the words are changed. And I know that Dr. Paisley used to get the words changed. Not far away in heathen darkness dwelling. And it may be the neighbor next door, the man that lives right beside you. He's my closest neighbor, but he's lost and he's undone. He walks a path of unrighteousness. The way of the Lord he cannot see, for he is blind in his sin and depravity. There is but one step between him and death and ruination for all eternity. He's godless, Christless, hopeless and helpless. The Bible is a closed book to him, for he doesn't read it. He maybe doesn't even have one. The house of God is a closed door to him, for he never darkens the door of a place of worship on the Sabbath day. But sadly, my friends, the door of heaven is shut against him, because he knows not Christ as his Savior, and he too is sinking in sin and distress but I hear a cry from the man next door, carest thou not that we perish? It might well be asked by the work colleague. He brushes or she brushes by you every day. He's at your side in your place of employment. He's treading the downward road that leads to destruction. No one has ever told him about his need, not even you. Because you failed to warn him. You failed to plead with him, to invite him to the house of God, to be a witness to him. Does he not ask you the question, carest thou not that I perish? Might be asked by the school friend. Young people, I want to tell you in this meeting that God in his providence has placed you in a classroom where the ungodly dwell. The world is devouring your fellow class companions. All their interest is in the world, the flesh and the devil. They are strangers to grace and to God. And every step they take is one step more to the darkness of a lost eternity. All they are interested in are the vanities of this present evil world. The discos, the nightclubs, the wild life of sinful pleasure. They are consumed by these things. Satan has them blinded and deceived. Who will tell them the way? Will it be you, young person? Or will they have to say, carest thou not that we perish? Do you not care that I'm on this road to hell and destruction? It's a question that might be asked by some close companion. You've got a friend that is on the path of perdition. You've known them for many years. You've spent many hours in their company. You've laughed together. You've played together. You've shared your joys, your dreams, and your sorrows together. But you've never told them of Jesus the mighty to save. Carest thou not that I perish? They might well ask you. A question that is asked by some dear family member. You are related to them by blood. You're of the same household. You're under the same roof, some brother, some sister, some son, some daughter. You've talked to them about many things, but little of the gospel. Carest thou not that we perish? By whom is this question asked? It's very challenging, isn't it? But secondly, to whom is this question asked? Well, obviously it is asked to the Saviour. That is the setting before us in the fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel. These disciples address this question to the Lord. Master, do you not care that we perish? Of course he cared. His mighty love was upon them always. He showed that to them many, many times. But my friends, from the lips of poor, darkened, lost souls comes this question in the modern day to the blessed Saviour. Carest thou not that we perish? And maybe there's somebody in this meeting today and you're asking this very question. It's upon your heart. Does Jesus care that I'm perishing? I want to tell you, my friends, from personal experience, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one ever did. He has proved this beyond doubt. And the greatest evidence of that is seen in the fact that he left the ivory palaces of glory, and he came into this world that is filled with woe and with sin, and he dwelt among man for the purpose of being the Saviour of man. He lived a life we could not live. He died a death we could not die, so that he might be the Redeemer of sinful men. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the proof that he cares for you today, that he loves you so. We've been thinking very much about the mission and thinking a lot about the visit of our brother, little John. And there was a hymn that came to my mind just over the course of this past couple of days. And as I began to think about it and sort of sing it over in my mind, I thought, you know, there's a hymn that is so suited to our brother, to his voice and to the way that he sings. And it's a hymn that is entitled Down From His Glory. It was written back in 1921, and it was based on the text in John chapter 6 and verse 38, For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. It speaks about the purpose of Christ coming into the world, down from his glory, ever-living story. My God, my Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger to his own, a stranger, a man of sorrows, fears, and agony. What condescension, bringing us redemption, that in the night, the dead of night, not one faint hope in sight. God gracious, tender, laid aside his splendor, stooping to woe, to win, to save my soul. Without reluctance, flesh and blood, his substance, he took the form of man, revealed the hidden plan. O glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary, and now I know thy work, the great I am. Oh, how I love him, the chorus says, how I adore him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him. I want to tell you, he loves you. He cares for you. He's willing to save you if you're not saved in this meeting. Does Jesus care? Yes, he does. To whom is this question asked? To Satan, who has bound men in sin. Does the devil care that souls are going to hell? Does the devil care that the lost are doomed and damned? Does the devil care that you, my friend, without Christ in this meeting, will sink in everlasting despair in a Christless eternity? Not one bit. He hasn't got a care for your soul. He's glad that souls are on the road to hell. He desires plenty of company there, and therefore he blinds the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in. And he's ever busy. He's ever busy to take you away from the Lord, to stop you from being saved. And I tell you, my friends, you need to be busy at this mission, because the devil is busy, and the devil is going to do what he can to prevent souls being saved. No, the devil doesn't care. He's that roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's all his plan and policy for your life, to devour you. If you're not saved, to damn you in a lost sinner's hell. The question is asked to the world. The world that has entangled man in its pleasures. This world is not a friend to help us unto God. This world will take you down into the depths of hell. There's no care for the lost soul in the world. To the flesh, this question is asked. To the flesh that has ensnared men in the carnal appetites of human depravity. The world, the flesh, and the devil is a great trinity of evil against the souls of men. The flesh is no care for God, no care for sinners, no care for souls. The flesh will devise all imaginable lusts and cravings in the heart of carnal man to drag him down a pathway of sin, and at the end damn his soul in hell forevermore. Flee youthful lusts, the Bible says. The flesh doesn't care for your soul. This question must be put to the professing church. To the professing church who ought to be troubled and concerned. This question is for us in this meeting. Whoever you are, as a child of God, professing to know the Savior, in the light of our mission, in the preaching of the gospel for the next 2 weeks, do you care, dear Christian? Are you moved like the Savior? He was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes without a shepherd, without someone to tell them the way. Are you broken like Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, when he looked at the sins of his people and his nation? He was brokenhearted, and his eyes streamed down like rivers of tears. I wonder today, are you burdened like Paul, who could wish himself a curse from Christ for his brethren, for his kinsmen, according to the flesh? Does it not trouble you that souls are lost in their sin and going out into eternal perdition? You need to answer that question in your heart today, here in God's house, in the presence of the Lord. Carest thou not that we perish? I'm putting it to every Christian in this meeting. Only you can give the answer and the honesty of your heart to this question. But then thirdly, I want to ask, by what ways will a genuine concern be manifested? We have seen by whom this question is asked, to whom the question is asked. We have put it to the believing people of God here in this house of God today. Do you care that sinners are perishing? Do you care? Maybe you're saying, yes, I care. Well then, by what ways will this concern of ours be manifested? I haven't time to go into it in detail, but it's going to be seen in certain ways. It's going to be seen by our praying. By our praying. By our intercessions. Have you been getting out to the seasons of prayer? Is it your plan in the incoming fortnight to get out to the half hour of prayer before the meetings and any other special prayer meeting that will be called through the mission? Are you giving yourself over to private prayer at home as you supplicate the throne of grace on behalf of those that are lost in this town? You say the question is asked, preacher. Do you care for the souls of men? I'm answering it in my heart. Yes, I care for the souls of men. Then, my friends, it's going to be manifested in your prayer life. It's going to be seen as you get before God and you agonize on behalf of those that are lost. It's also going to be observed by your living. If you're concerned for those in their sin, you're going to live right before them. Your life is a living epistle. It's going to tell for the Savior. It's going to point men to the cross, to Calvary. And if you're living an unholy life before the ungodly, and if your life is no different than theirs, and you're just the same when you go out there into society, my friend, you haven't a care in your heart at all for the ungodly, because your life will tell. Your life will be wooing them to the cross. You're going to live right before them. It'll be seen that way. It'll also be seen by your giving. And I'm not just speaking here about your financial giving so that the work of God might be supported, but the giving of your time, the giving of your energy. Following on from that, by your witnessing, telling others about the Savior, and by your working. Have you been working for the mission? What have you done thus far? I don't know what you've done, but you know. If you're concerned for souls that are perishing in their sin and going down to a lost eternity, my dear friends, in Jesus' name, you'll be doing something. You'll be doing something to get them under the sound of the gospel. Because I tell you, this fortnight will come and it will go and it'll disappear just like that. It'll be away. I can hardly believe that the mission's starting today. When we thought about this mission months ago, and we planned towards it, and we telephoned the Reverend Morrow, and whenever little John was over towards the end of last year, and we asked him to come back for the mission. All those months have passed by, and now we're standing on the day of the mission. This very night the mission commences. That period of time has gone so quickly. So will this fortnight. It'll be here, it'll be gone before you know it. What are you doing? Lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray. Melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today. Alas, the Church of Jesus Christ is sleeping, while the world around us is sliding into the eternal abyss. We're living in the age of little or no concern. We're living in the age of little or no prayer, little or no tears, little or no vision. That's the day that's upon us in Christendom. When I ponder the great question of our text, carest thou not that we perish? Do you know what I'm reminded about? I'm reminded about the psalmist in the Old Testament, and a very heart-searching statement that he made when he looked around him and he was brought to this conclusion, no man careth for my soul. He looked around him, you see. Looked in his right hand. refuge failed him. No man cared for my soul. Carest thou not that I perish? That's just a question wondering, do you care? I hope my friends at this time cannot say, no man cared for my soul. I trust with all my heart that this town will not be able to make such an accusation against the Christian population of this area, and certainly not against this church at our mission time. We're having this time of special preaching. We've been much in prayer for it. We've sent out the invitations. In some way we are beginning to manifest the concern that we do have for the people who live around us. I trust that we will feel the burden at this time of gospel preaching. I trust that we will be found in the place of supplication, praying earnestly. I trust that we will be walking in white, living aright before our fellow man. I trust that we will be gossiping the gospel, telling them of Jesus. I trust that we will be inviting the lost in under the sound of the word, that we will be laboring tirelessly, going out, as it were, into the highways and the byways, and compelling sinners to come in. Show the world that you care. Let the people of this town know that you are concerned. And as this question is put to us, carest thou not that we perish? For those who live around, may the answer come back loud and clear, yes, we care. That's why we're having the mission. That's why we're setting aside these special times of working for the Lord, inviting people to come, praying for the souls of men, having the preaching and the singing of the gospel. Yes, we care. I hope that those around us sense it, know it, and feel it in their heart.